Turn in your Bible with me to Colossians chapter 1. I appreciate hearing from you, you that have written to me and you that have talked to me personally. I appreciate the words that you had to say about the broadcast. We've been talking about salvation, basically, and that's the purpose of this. It's called Grace Believers Bible Study. And it is involved in salvation by grace through faith. It has to do with making known to people the fact that salvation is by grace without any works on the part of the individual. And so we've been studying about the mystery as compared to prophecy. This morning we want to read in Colossians chapter 1. Before I read, though, I want to mention something to you. Our purpose in talking about the mystery and our purpose in doing what we do on here is not without foundation. It's not that we just decided that we want to do this. It is based upon talking to hundreds of people who know nothing about the mystery. They know nothing about rightly dividing the word of truth, and they are deceived, and they've been taken in by some con artist somewhere. Now, illustration, I want to tell you. Recently, my wife and I were having dinner in a restaurant, and the waitress we got to talking to the waitress, and I said, well, we're getting ready to teach a Bible class. Why don't you come and join us in this Bible class when you get off from here? And so she said, well, my husband is a Bible teacher, and one thing led to another, and then the conversation got to her salvation. And so in the conversation I said to this lady, if you died today, would you go to heaven or to hell? And this lady said, well, I'd go to heaven. And I said, well, how do you know that? And she said, because I have the Holy Ghost. And I said, well, but do you have a Savior? She said, well, that too. Now, I know that this lady does not have the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ said when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll not speak of himself. And he goes on and says that the Holy Spirit would glorify Jesus Christ. You see the way the woman did this, and she was not being dishonest in what she was doing. She was not being sarcastic. She was speaking from her heart, as they say. The Holy Ghost came before Jesus Christ in her life. Being filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues was the all to her, rather than trusting Christ as her Lord and Savior. She knew basically nothing about Christ dying for her sins. Oh, she knew that as words, but accepting the fact that Christ paid for all her sins was out of the question. She didn't even believe that Jesus Christ paid for all her sins. And the uttermost thing, the top priority in her life was being filled with the Holy Ghost and having the evidence of speaking in tongues. That poor lady is lost. That poor lady doesn't even know what she believes. She's deceived. She's been involved in the ministry of a con artist someplace. In a Bible class recently, after the class was over, a lady said, I want to talk to you about something. She said, what do you say to people that tell you that they know that they're saved by the grace of God? Jesus Christ died for all their sins, but she said, but these people don't really serve the Lord. And I said, well, how do you know they don't serve the Lord? Well, I can see it in their lives. Well, one question led to another. The conversation got around to, I said, well, pray tell, how do you know that you're saved? And this lady said, because I feel it. I said, what? She said, well, I'll tell you the truth. Said, I repented of all my sins. Said, I believed in Jesus and I've been baptized. And she said, after my baptism, I had such a tremendous feeling about it. And I said, in other words, your salvation then is based somewhat upon that you felt? And she said, why, certainly so. I feel good about my salvation. And one thing led to another, and it turned out she was in a Pentecostal church. The gist of her testimony was lifting up holy hands and shouting and feeling good and on and on and on. And the lady finally became angry with me and ended up in tears and left the room in tears because I began to show her verses of Scripture in the Bible. I didn't try to tell the woman that she didn't need to feel good. I wasn't attempting to show her that she didn't need to feel relief as a result of the salvation if she had it. I was trying to show the woman that salvation is not dependent upon the way you feel. Another case of someone being taken in a religious system, taken to the cleaners, used constantly, and never shown the real truth. You know why? Because the real truth would make her free from that system that she's hooked on. These people get a rush. They get a high. And that's what they're after. That is not our aim here. Our aim here is to preach the word and be instant in season, out of season, reprove and rebuke with all longsuffering and doctrine. Our aim is to make known the mystery, make known the fact of salvation, make known to people that salvation is free to you, make known to you that salvation is based upon what Jesus Christ did in your behalf and not made known on what and not dependent upon you, what you're doing in His behalf. Salvation is by grace through faith. And people say, well, Brother Moore, I believe that, and yet their actions prove they do not believe that. An individual, we'll say, is in the water. He's struggling. He's doing everything he can to get to the shore, and because he thinks he's victorious over the waves and whatever, he's laughing and shouting and yelling, I feel good about this. Well, why do you feel so good? You're going to drown. Oh, but I feel good because I'm not going to drown. I'm going to make it to the shore. I'm going to beat this thing. I'm going to win this battle. And on and on and on. And I say, but what you really need to do is stop fighting the waves. You need to stop struggling. Oh, but if I stopped, I'd drown. Well, then you're not trusting. If you'll stop fighting and stop struggling and trust me in this particular case now, don't get up. I'll pull you out of there. We're talking in a physical sense now. And the man said, I can swim out. I can make it. And I say, no one ever has. I'll save you if you'll trust me. Just relax. But he will not relax. And trust me, he's been hyped up to believe that eventually he's going to make it. He may drown, but he'll drown trying. That's it. There are people by the thousands today. They may die and end up in hell, but they will have died trying to be good. They will have died in repentance, struggling and striving to please, and fall off in hell doing that. Rather than to quit fighting, quit trying, quit struggling, quit trying to be good, recognize you're bad, as the Bible says, and trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. In Colossians chapter 1, will you read with me today from the very last words of verse 23? Colossians 1:23, the very last word says, I, Paul, am made a minister, verse 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which are the church. In other words, Paul then filled up the sufferings of Christ in himself. He didn't suffer to pay for your sins. He didn't die for your sins, but he died for you. The Apostle Paul died for you that are listening to me. He died that you might receive the message. He died that the message of grace might be made known unto you. You see, when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, he was buried and then he rose again. And he arose in glory and he couldn't suffer anymore. Now, here's the point. Whoever preached that Christ died for your sins was going to suffer for doing it. The world was not going to receive that. They were not going to accept the fact that Jesus Christ died for your sins and that salvation is free to you by what he did at Calvary. But Jesus Christ couldn't suffer anymore, therefore he chose a man. That man's name is Paul. He chose the Apostle Paul, and he gave the job to the Apostle Paul of being the missionary and the apostle to the Gentiles. And so this man, Paul, took this message of grace. And when he told those religious leaders that the Lord had called him and sent him to carry the message of grace to Gentiles such as we, they put him in chains and put him in prison, and he finally died as a result of that. Paul filled up the sufferings of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. He filled it up. He completed the sufferings of Jesus Christ for you. What have I learned from this? I learned that everything that you need to know about the death of Christ is contained in Romans through Philemon. He filled up the sufferings of Christ for the church, which is the body of Christ. Peter suffered. Well, if Paul filled up the sufferings of Christ for the church with the body of Christ, then Peter didn't suffer for the church with the body of Christ. John suffered as a result of his preaching and eventually was killed and on, but he certainly didn't fill up the sufferings of Christ to the church, which is the body of Christ, or else Paul lied. Paul said he filled up the sufferings of Jesus Christ for the church, which is the body of Christ. So Paul suffered. He died for you. Oh, he didn't pay for your sins, but he died to make known unto you the fact that Christ paid for your sins. No one wanted the Gentiles to know that, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Israel forbid Christ to preach to the Gentiles. They didn't want this message known to the Gentiles. And the church at large today, the religious system, does not want Gentiles to know that salvation is free to them. The church does not want you to know that you can be saved by grace through faith. They want you to believe that for you to be saved, you must get out of the pew, as the organ plays softly, just as I am without one plea, and you must come down the aisle, and you must pray at the altar, and you must get through to God, and you must lay down your sins there at the altar, and on. That's the way they believe that you must do it. They want you to do it that way. I want to give you an illustration. A man in Ohio years ago, an elderly man, lost, doomed, damned. This man was sitting in his home. He was watching television, and a famous, world-renowned evangelist was on television. And this evangelist said to the people in the stadium, as he gave the invitation, he said, "You that are on the back row in the stadium up there, you come on down. If you've came by bus, they'll wait for you." And he goes on and on and on. "Come down to here." And the people began to get up out of their seats and they began to come down in front. Well, here's this man sitting there in his home. This preacher turned to the camera and he said, "And you there in your homes, you can be saved right where you are there." And he begins to tell them what they need to do. Suddenly the thought came to this old man sitting there in his chair watching that television. "Hey, why doesn't he tell me that I need to come down there where they are? Why do I not need to get on my car and run over there to the stadium and go down there where they are?" If God can save me right here in my home watching television, why can he not save those people up there in that last row in that stadium? Why do they need to get up from their seats and come down there to the front? If God can save me here, he could save them up there. Now that says a mouthful, beloved. You see, the religious system does not want people to be saved by grace through faith without some activity on their part. People want to count the converts. They want to send in the report of how many that they had walked the aisle last year, or how many they baptized last year and are none. But Paul said he filled up the sufferings of Jesus Christ for the church with the body of Christ. Paul wrote the message down. We've got it in the King James Bible. We've got the whole thing. So what can I preach unto you then? I can preach nothing beyond that which is written down by the Apostle Paul. I have no revelation from God by sitting in my home somewhere and meditating and whatever. The revelation is written down here in the King James Bible, exactly the way God wanted it. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, reference to Paul, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Verse 25, for if I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, now watch, to fulfill the word of God. In other words, this man said that his message, this man said that the message that God Almighty gave him to the Gentiles fulfilled the Word of God. The message of grace, the gospel of the grace of God, the doctrine of grace, the doctrine of the church, which is the body of Christ, filled up the Bible. It fulfilled the Word of God. I learn a lot of things from that. I've got a chart up here. Back here would be Genesis through Malachi. Israel is exalted back there above the Gentiles. Say this line down here represents the Gentiles. God exalted Israel above the Gentiles. And then John the Baptist came to Israel preaching repentance unto them, but they didn't repent. They'd turned to their idols. They'd turned to the idols of the Gentiles. And so Christ came unto them. And so I've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the message there is not dedicated to the Gentiles whatsoever. In fact, in Matthew 10, Jesus Christ said, go not in the way of the Gentiles. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew chapter 15, a Gentile woman came to Jesus and said, in effect, Lord, would you please come and heal my daughter? She's grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not one word. And so she cried unto the apostles. And they said to the Lord, send this woman away. She's bothering us. And Jesus turned to that lady and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And people deny that today. They will not accept that today. Jesus Christ at that time was not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So the doctrine for the church, which is the body of Christ, not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the doctrine for the church, which is the body of Christ, is given to the Apostle Paul and through the Apostle Paul, and you find it in Romans through Philemon. Romans chapter 15, verse 8 says that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, confirming the promises made unto the fathers. Then I know that Jesus Christ's ministry in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is to the circumcision. And he's confirming promises made unto the fathers. And yet, there is a period of time in here that's like a parenthesis. And during this period of time, there's a ministry to the Gentiles that is not included in all that. I come to the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is not about the church, which is the body of Christ. The book of Acts is a sort of a transition. It's a sort of a fading out of the law, phasing in of grace, and on and on and on. It's the Acts of the Apostles. and the central theme of the book of Acts has to do with the ministry of apostles to Israel and their rejection of that ministry. And then I get to the book of Romans, and I find the doctrine to the Gentiles, the doctrine for the church which they bought at Christ. I find it in Romans through Philemon. And I could care less about what certain doctors have to say about that, as they call us hypers and dry cleaners and idiots and fools and whatever. I don't care anything about all that. Paul said that he fulfilled the Word of God for you Gentiles. Well, then I know that Hebrews, through Revelation and the ministry of those that wrote them, did not fulfill the Word of God for you. I know that the Word of God is not fulfilled for you that are listening to my voice by Hebrews through Revelation. I know that it's in Romans through Philemon. I know that the message of God directed to you is found in Romans through Philemon. All of the other is for our admonition and our learning. But the message of grace, the salvation of God, the doctrine to the church, which is the body of Christ, is found in Romans through Philemon. Paul said that he fulfilled the Word of God. In other words, then, I can follow prophecy, and I can see prophecy in action in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I can see it being fulfilled in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I can see it being fulfilled up and through the book of Acts. I can see prophecy being fulfilled over here in Hebrews through the book of Revelation. But in Romans through Philemon, not so. In Romans through Philemon, I see Gentiles having preached unto them the doctrine of salvation by grace through faith alone without any help from Israel. I see the doctrine of the fall of Israel and salvation without Israel, but instead salvation to Israel through the Gentiles in Romans through Philemon. That is really something. In other words, back here, Gentiles had a hope through Israel. Over here, Gentiles have a hope through Israel, as in Matthew 25. In Matthew 25, when Christ comes again, when he shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, he'll sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him all nations will be gathered together, and he'll separate those nations out as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he'll say to the sheep on the left, on the right hand, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Well, then I know that the kingdom, I know the millennium and whatever, I know it is prepared from the foundation of the world for the Gentiles that are in that context. And he tells them the reason that this is true. He tells them the reason they get in. "For I was hungry, you gave me food. I was naked, and you clothed me," and on and on and on. And they'll ask him, "When did we do this for you?" And he said, "When you did it on one of the least of these my brethren." In other words, they bless Israel, and as a result of that, they're saved physically to go into the kingdom. So all that is prophetic. But Romans through Philemon is involved in a mystery. And you know what's amazing? Gentiles during this period of time are not being saved through the salvation of Israel. Oh, no. Israel's salvation during this period of time, a Jew, an Israelite during this period of time, his salvation is through the Gentiles. That's clear in the Scripture. Turn, please, to Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, look at verse 11. Romans 11, verse 11 says, "I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy." In other words, Israel then is a predominant nation until a point there, and then they fall and diminish, fade out of the picture as a nation unto God. And they end up being called, Lo am I, as in the book of Hosea, not God's people. Today Israel is not God's people as a nation. Say, oh, but how about the United Nations made them so? We don't care anything about what the United Nations said about Israel. We're concerned with what God said about them. Now, so they're fallen. They're going to be saved as a nation at the second coming of Christ. Verse 26, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. In other words, when Jesus Christ comes, after the time of Jacob's trouble, after the tribulation, he will come and he will save Israel as a nation. The deliverer shall roar out of Zion, turn away ungodliness from Jacob. That's God's covenant of them, when he shall take away their sins. So they'll be saved over there. Now, verse 28. As concerning the gospel, they're enemies for your sakes. In other words, they were enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ and cried, crucify him, and by his death, you Gentiles have salvation. So they're enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they're beloved for the Father's sakes, for the gifts and calling of God without repentance. Verse 30, for as you, the Gentiles, as you in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. By their unbelief in crucifying Christ, God had mercy on you in the death of Christ. Verse 31, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. The way a Jew and an Israelite can be saved today is through the doctrine of the church, the body of Christ, committed to the Apostle Paul. God work the whole thing out so that salvation is free to those that will trust Christ. Trust him, believing that he died for all your sins and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day. All your sins have been taken care of by him. Trust him now as